This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Maurice Clark.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. So welcome back, Maurice. And we're talking about the development of Pitt Park.
Yes, so we got as far as the community consultation starting.
Right.
It was not just the Roslyn community, it was the wider Palmerston North community as well that were part of the consultation. Mm. So the mayor of the time organised for Di Lucas from Christchurch to come up and do an independent analysis and consultation and provide a report about what direction should go in, because as you may remember when we talked earlier, the it was an election year for the council and the whole Pitt Park, the whole park versus motorised go-karts became a big issue within the elections that time, and we had quite a shift in councillor support around that. So the consultation happened, it was done locally and it was done citywide. There were workshops with councillors, there were workshops at schools, there were workshops with interested people in the community. And those workshops were actually well attended, the community ones. This was one of those issues that really got the community thinking, because on the side of Palmerston North, there was a distinct lack of recreational facilities.
Right.
There was Memorial Park, which was over towards the Hokafetu side of thing. But in the Roslyn block, which is quite a big block, we had soccer grounds.
Right.
And green drainage spaces and a green space above the top of the cemetery that was counted as recreational. We did laugh when that one came back, and that was about it. And there had been at this point the Linklater block was coming into council ownership. Ross Linklater was negotiating and working with the council at that point, so there was a long term plan for up in Kelvin Grove, but there was nothing down here in Roslyn. And Roslyn is a really heavily populated area, and it's a really disadvantaged area. It's got the same kind of demographics as Highbury.
Right.
It does not have the actual networks and support systems in place that Highbury has, because there's been a huge focus down there due to some of the issues that have occurred in that suburb, and this has been a bit of a quieter suburb, but we've still got the same issues.
We've got
huge area of state housing, we've got a lot of single parent families, we've got a lot of older and disabled people in here, and more recently we've got a significant refugee resettlement population in the area as well. So there was nothing apart from the Freiburg Pool was being developed around that time, and that was it. Anyone in this area had to travel out to go for a passive recreation space.
And then you couldn't travel out. They wouldn't necessarily own a car to travel out.
That's right. There were some significant issues there. Yeah. And this was all highlighted in Di Lucas's report. And the feedback that came back through her report was that the community as a whole wanted a passive recreation space. They didn't want sports grounds. Mm. They didn't want commercial activities. Mm. They wanted a park-like area that they could go to, spend time with their families, take their dogs for walks. That was easily accessible. And the key thing that they all came through with, which was a real surprise to everybody, the community wanted something that they could come to, but the thing that really surprised everyone was they wanted native plantings. they did not want exotics in the area. And this came through and everywhere.
And that was
end of 1997, 98-ish.
Wow, that's great, isn't it?
And I think that was the real surprise. Mm. So they actually wanted a bush area replicated in the city.
Wow.
So that's how the project, when it finally got underway, became a regeneration project. Mm.
Great.
Because the community had made it clear that that was what they wanted. Mm. And so anyway, but there were still plenty of hurdles in the way here. This was only a report.
Right.
And, you know, these things take time. Mm. And, of course, after Paul Rieger left the mayoralty, we had a series of one-term mayors, didn't we? Right. So we had... who did we have straight after Paul? I think it was Jill White.
So the mayor that was Jill White.
Was Jill White came in as the mayor, and Jill was supportive of the project, and she was the one that got the Di Lucas report underway and also enabled us to get some Shooting Star funding as well for things. By this point, a council liaison group had been set up as well, and it was loose, and... we had to apply to go on this, provide our CVs and why were we appropriate to go on it.
Mm.
But this council liaison group was tasked with getting the project underway.
Right.
And that was chaired by Joe Rozier from Massey University, and several of us that had been involved in the community action were co-opted onto that committee. There was myself and Barbara Lockett and Evan Natress, who had been all part of the group here, and it was loosely called the Pitt Park people. It was a Pitt Park liaison group.
Right.
So this wasn't formally the Pitt Park people at this point, but that involved a lot of meetings and planning and such like, and starting to get things underway and the development. I should have talked about the development of a memorandum of understanding with the council, and then then we had a change in mayoralty.
Oh, I was going to say, with that memorandum of understanding to go from mayor to mayor to mayor,
yes,
supposedly.
Anyway, so anyhow, so Jill White went out and Mark Bell Booth came in. And at the end of Jill White's mayoralty, there was also a change in CEO. And so this is when Paul Wiley came in. So we ended up with Paul Wiley, and who had been well known for his slash and burn policies within health and other things. Anecdotally, I was told that he used to boast that he had sacked more people than others had had hot dinners in those areas.
Oh.
And Mark Bell Booth, who was a businessman and believed that you could run the council on business principles. Mm. So when I remember going in to meet with Mark Bell Booth and Paul Wiley to introduce myself and the project and talk with them about where it might go, and Paul Wiley made it very obvious that he didn't really want to be working with community groups, or he didn't believe in community council partnerships, and it was a really interesting meeting, and having Paul stand there going red in the face, pointing his finger at me, shaking his finger, and telling me that this project wasn't going to be going anywhere. It was fascinating. Awful. Because, I wasn't an employee or anything
I
was a member of the community that had gone to meet with them on behalf of the community. And he could not... The thing was, he did not understand how community council partnerships worked, and he didn't believe that such a thing could actually work properly. And we, at this point, had secured funding to get some things underway. We had not been allowed to set foot in the park at this point either to do anything.
How many months or years has gone past on that?
It took It took 7 years from the time that the idea was mooted to the time we were first allowed to set foot in there. It was an election year at the end of Mark Bell Booth's
time.
Mayoralty. It was election time because we had our very first planting, and Mark and his wife came down, and Lou Findlay came to the park, and John Hornblow were there. They were all helping with this planting. And I remember it because it was the first planting, and we were up to our eyeballs in mud. And I wasn't much use to anybody because a few months earlier I'd broken my ankle, so I was hobbling around, hanging on to a pole so that I didn't fall face first in the mud, and directing everyone else up and down the trees. There's a photo of me that exists with me sort of halfway up there in this mud and clay with my pole firmly planted in the ground so that I don't fall over, with my youngest daughter planting a tree. I started this project with a preschool child.
Right.
And that preschool has now got an 11-year-old and a 5-year-old. I naively thought that the project would be up and sorted and done and dusted, and my kids could play down there.
Yes.
No, it's the grandchildren that are getting there, and it's still an ongoing project.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, it was finally towards the end of Mark Bell Booth's mayoralty that we were able to get some traction, because we lost the Shooting Star funding due to the delays, because Paul Wiley, had falsely thought that the council owned that funding. They hadn't realised that the funding, it was actually in the name of the Pitt Park people, that we'd applied for it, and it was our funds. And what he was hoping to do was take those funds and put them off somewhere else.
But he couldn't.
It wasn't until I remember presenting at a council meeting and making it very, very clear that we were going to lose that funding, that you could see the penny drop, that he realised it wasn't council funding.
Mm.
And we lost it because
the delay.
Because of the delay, because we were not able to progress with what we were going to do. We lost, if I recall correctly, it was around $200,000. The Shooting Star funds were very kind to us. They allowed us to retain a proportion, and that's how we got the car park laid.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Were they privately a private trust?
It's the Eastern and Central Community Trust.
Right,
and
right.
They had this Shooting Star fund, which was a one-off fund, and Heather Tengay had helped us to secure that funding, so we lost a lot of money as a result of the machinations that went on in council. But pull that aside, we were finally allowed to be planting in there, and then we got, once Mark Bell Booth went out, Heather Tengay came in as the mayor, so we now had another supportive mayor, and over those next 3 years the project took off. We had the council put funding aside in the annual plans, which meant that things could begin to progress, because they had remediation works that needed to be done down there, because at the same time the project started, the bank behind Coromandel Court was starting to collapse.
And so, because of the pit?
It was because of the building. The houses that had been built should never have been built where they were. That was a whole another issue because of the previous land use. And the bank was starting to subside, so there were houses in Coromandel Court subsiding. And even with my property here and my immediate neighbours, I wasn't subsiding. Their garage was. But our houses had been built where the asphalt yards were, and that had meant that there was toxins in the soil, and that's a whole other story.
I was going to say,
that's a whole other story where we had to go to the council and sought out remediation of the site here.
Right.
That's not the volunteer work. That was something else entirely.
Yes.
That's another biggie.
A biggie, yeah, to do that one.
That became an election issue. But so, yeah, we were finally able to get in, but it had taken almost 8 years before we were allowed to plant.
And now, so this is... So 1998, so 20 years on.
That, so that that original planting is the tall stuff that you see that goes up the bank. So that stuff that went in...
Earthed. So we're looking at planting continuing?
Yes, it is. We're still planting. We're working on, see the bank up there that's got a bit of long grass and some... mowed bits, that's where we're working currently.
So in the front, just for the listeners, in the front here we've got harakeki, flaxes, then we've got cabbage trees,
and there's karo, and we've got the native iris down there flowering at the moment, and the manuka and kanuka are coming into flower. You've just missed beautiful. The kōwhai.
They were stunning this year,
absolutely stunning. And the what else is flowering? The nio is starting to flower.
That must be a lovely feeling for you to look out this window and see that the and the birds must be coming in too.
And that's one of the big things we've seen in the neighbourhood is we now have native birds here.
Yes.
It was very rare to see birds in the past. We'd occasionally see the karerea hunting down there because they live out near Te Matai Road,
right.
And they would come in, because we've got some good rats down there, but don't tell anybody. And they would come in and they'd actually teach their babies to hunt in the pit. But we now have tui, and we've I'm pretty sure we've actually got tui nesting around here now.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful.
You hear them nearly every day. We see lots of fantails now. They were never here. We see lots of the little wax eyes, tauira, they come. And little finches too, little red-headed finches, of course, magpies. Occasional magpie and blackbirds and...
Oh.
So, right, but we've also got down there some native lizards.
The little
sort of lime-coloured ones.
Yes. Oh, the geckos.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we've got a native snail down there as well.
Gosh.
A little black flat snail.
Yes.
And some rather healthy wetter.
Great. Well, it's really, really good.
And the native cockroach, which, thank you very much. You can go away. So there's the ecosystem is working. And in the wetland, we've got the southern bell frog in there. And we've also got from time to time eels. They come in through the stormwater system.
Right.
And every now and again I have to get hold of someone from Whakapai Hauora to come along and set a hinaki and take away the eels and release them into the river.
Do you have any problems with cats, dogs, possums?
No possums. We've got some big rats down there, but... and rats and mice, but
no stoats,
no weasels, no possums in here. We're a little bit too far away from the genuine bush for that to happen.
Yeah.
We'd probably have to have somebody do something stupid like release them down there. Talking of stupid things, at one point some clever person thought it was a good idea to release goldfish into the wetland, and the wetland was absolutely teeming with it. But the white-faced herons discovered it, and they came and they cleaned all the goldfish out
bless them. Bless their hearts.
Yes.
So the rats, you have traps for the rats, or does somebody maintain the park?
We do a little bit of trapping, but you don't see them much now. I think there's enough cats around for that.
Right.
You know, some years ago I did have one cat who was a ratter, and she would bring the damned things home, lay them out on the concrete for me.
Just to get the approval.
I did. Yeah, and some of them were huge rats, and at one point we went under the house and found she had a rat cemetery under there with those 15 or 16 carcasses in various stages of decomposition. Yeah. But, I've, since her, I haven't actually had a ratter, but I'm hoping someone else has got a ratter in their household.
So when you say we, so there's still a trust or there's still an organisation?
There's the Thick Park People Society Incorporated, and we've been going from the very early days. So that group, that council liaison group that was set up, and the informal community group, the council liaison group, adopted the name of the formal community group, an informal community group, and the council liaison group and the informal community group morphed into the Pitt Park People Society Incorporated.
Right.
So the society was incorporated at least 20 years ago, if not more. I've lost track of the time. I've sent all of our paperwork to the archives currently, so I'd probably have to go and look there and find out when we were incorporated.
Because it's been such a journey. So are you chair of...
Currently, chair
of the... You've received an award for all this work too. You didn't want me to say that, but I am going to say it because it sounds to me like you have done an incredible amount of work coordinating people and keeping the team and the spirit alive. Would that be a fair...
I've just done my job.
I know you've done your job because you're lovely and humble. But
I received a Civic Honour Award in 2015, I think it was. That was the team from Reach Roslyn that nominated me for that. That's another volunteer group that I'm involved with.
Yeah.
And they were very sneaky. I didn't know that was happening at all.
But it's a nice recognition too the work of what you're doing naturally and what's been part of your ethos and spirit wherever you are.
Well, I think, that there's something very wrong if we can't get out there and do things for our community.
Absolutely.
And it bothers me when I hear people saying, well, why would you do something for nothing? I hear it more and more now. And I'd sort of think, well, why wouldn't you just get out there and do something different and do it for the community? I've always had a little bit of a laugh, though, about this particular project because, I've been very busily putting trees and plants and things into the ground. And that came about, I was looking for funding for Pitt Park, and there was this particular funding that didn't matter which way I looked at it, I couldn't quite wriggle it for the Pitt project because it was about waterways and improving waterways. And I've got a waterway there, but the water drains down into the ground. But over in Norton Park, over beside the New Life Church and the kindergarten and all that, there's the little Culwell stream comes through there.
Right.
And so I looked at that, and that Jeff and I had, he was our council liaison officer for Pitt Park, and he had responsibility for parks up this end of town. And Jeff and I had looked at Norton Park before and sort of said, needs a bit of riparian planting. So I went to Jeff and I said, there's this possibility, funding, I can't make it work for Pitt Park, but we might be able, Reach might be able to make it work for Norton Park. What do you think? And Jeff's a pretty proactive chap, so he thought, yep, right. And we applied for it, we got the funding, and it was the seeding funding for the planting that's been done over at Norton Park. So now we've got the riparian planting there, we've got the planting here, and we've got the helicopter going.
We've got the helicopter, and there's life in Roslyn, and the vision keeps going, and your spirit keeps going. Wow, what a great life, what a great person you are.
And we've also planted up the Vogel Street Reserve that runs up through the centre of Clyde Crescent. That was a Reach Roslyn project as well. That was done over a couple of years, and darn it, the paint planting both times was in absolutely awful weather. Actually, going back to the planting at Norton Park, I got stuck in the mud there and had to be hauled out. out of the mud by a lovely Bhutanese couple.
Oh, how lovely. What a lovely end.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.